Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now, so you can be a part of the program, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. We invite your calls. However, we are experiencing some difficulty with our phone system right now. If you call and get a busy signal, we encourage you to keep trying because hopefully we'll have it corrected in short order. That number, 1-800-677-9377. Toll free across the country and in Canada, 800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're starting a brand new month and a brand new topic. We're talking about identity. And boy, identity is a huge issue in this world today. It has been a huge issue ever since the beginning of time. We've always wondered the answer to this question, who am I? And we set out on a quest to find out. We wanted to discover who we are, and a lot of times we settle in on, you know, defining ourselves by our skills or our talents or our successes and those sort of things. But God has a bigger picture in mind. Mm-hmm. There's something that's going to determine our eternal destiny, and that's identity. And when we come into this world, we have a really bad identity. It's called sinner.
Right.
I love what Paul wrote. It's very clear. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So Adam and Eve chose to sin. They chose to take matters in their own hands, to declare their independence from God, and believe the lie of Satan. And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Their identity changed at that moment in time. They became sinners. And they passed on that identity to everyone born after them. We all come into this world bearing the identity sinner.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a bad thing to admit. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing to admit, and here's the reason. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. This is Paul writing it to his young son in the faith, Timothy. He says, here's this trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Right.
Now, that's a very difficult thing for us to admit. We don't want to admit that. It takes a lot of humility to stand on the truth and to say with just sheer truth and honesty, I am a sinner. That's not part of human nature. We do everything in our power to hide that fact. We want people to think that we're basically good. To admit that we're sinners is to admit a horrible thing. But when we admit it, then we can draw close to Jesus. Why? Yeah. Because Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He gravitates toward sinners. We see that all throughout his ministry. When he walked planet Earth and he reached out to people in Northern Galilee and Jerusalem and all parts in between, he gravitated to sinners. Why? Because he had a plan for them. And that plan was new birth, so that they could be born into a brand new identity, so they could go from sinner to child of God. Now, that's an identity that matters.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
An identity that brings eternal consequences. So who are you? If you're still wrestling in process of trying to figure that out, come to truth and say with all frankness and sincerity, I'm a sinner. Because then and there you can receive what Christ has for you, and you can become a saint. That's good news.
That's good news. That's good stuff. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Looks like the lines are open now at 1-800-677-9377. We hope to hear from you on this edition. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. And again, thank you for joining us. That toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377, it is operational right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's talk to Martin, who's listening to us in Brooklyn, New York on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Well, hello there.
Welcome.
It is a blessing. All right. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
And it is regarding Hebrews 10:25. The Bible tells us, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what do they mean by that?
Well, Martin, I think it simply means this, that we are connected spiritually one to another. When we come to Christ by faith, we're saved individually, but then we're added to the body of Christ. We become members of this body of Christ. And just as we belong to Jesus Christ, the head, we belong one to another. There's this deep spiritual connection that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so Paul, the writer of Hebrews, encourages us to meet together to encourage one another, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's what the body of Christ is all about. We're only going to see the full measure of Christ when we assemble together as a body of believers. We can't see it individually. Does that make sense to you?
Makes sense. Thank you, brother.
So we need each other, and that's why so many people call up the program, not only this program, but other programs as well, and they ask the question about church. And the reason they ask that question about church is because there's this God-given desire built into them through this new birth to have fellowship with other believers. That just comes with salvation. And there's a real need for us to meet one with another so that we can encourage and be encouraged to love and good deeds, just as the writer of Hebrews says. So it's an important aspect of the Christian faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, brother.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you.
Well, thanks for calling, Martin, and it's a very important question. Mm-hmm. I know so many people try to make it as a Lone Ranger Christian.
Yes.
You know, they go out and they, you know, they're saved individually and they want to live as a believer individually. They just want to separate themselves from all, quote, religious organization or denominations or that sort of thing. They can't do that. I mean, they do, they try,
yeah,
but they're going against that God-given desire to meet with other like-minded believers.
Yeah, and the mistake they've made is that they somehow confused church attendance with the kind of relationship that is being written about here. There's nothing wrong with church attendance, but church is you know, where we think of, you know, 80 or 90 or 100 or 1,000 people cannot possibly be that relationship issue. It's very good for something else, but this relationship is the two or three gathered together in my name kind of relationship where the body of Christ grows and strengthens. And then, you know, and when you've got that kind of relationship with people, then when you go to a larger gathering, however large it is, then there's this whole group of people who have been mutually strengthened, and now they can rejoice together and you know, maybe plan things as a group together or whatever it's going to be. But it starts small.
Yes, indeed. I know next month, October, is Pastor Appreciation Month around the country, and we're going to talk about the church. We're going to spend a lot of time looking at what the Word of God has to say about the body of Christ, all the different things that the Word of God calls the body of Christ, how we're to function within the body of Christ. We're gonna invite some pastors to join us on the air during that month and have them give their perspective on what, quote, church is and how we can be the church. So we're really looking forward to the month of October as far as that is concerned. And Martin, we certainly encourage you to tune in and to ask some friends to join with us. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Martin. We sure appreciate it.
Well, plenty of open lines right now, plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 800-677-9377. Well, guys, of course, we love hearing from our listeners in the U.S. and Canada, but also from around the world. And I wanted to share this email that we got from Lotta, who writes to us from Sweden. She says, I'm listening to your podcast from Sweden, and I think it's absolutely wonderful to hear you addressing and answering questions. She says, I came to Christ about 25 years ago, but the truth of the gospel was first explained to me through a minister in the U.S. At that moment, I found peace, something I was hungering and thirsting after. My experience is that if you have been under wrong teaching, mixing grace and law and teaching you can lose your salvation, it takes deprogramming and reprogramming. Your program has helped me so much with this as you're keeping it basic and focusing on truth. She says, I haven't come across this teaching in Sweden. Some have it to a certain point, but don't have the courage to preach it clearly. As you have pointed out, it is necessary to, or you have pointed out the necessity of having fellowship with other believers, which, of course, is what we were talking about just a moment ago. She says, I belong to a church where the teaching is mixed. When I hear this teaching, I get mixed up in my mind, and I have to refocus with the Lord afterwards. We have no Bible study, so I have no place to address these issues. I talk to people, but they don't agree with me about once saved, always saved. I have a strong feeling that I should leave this congregation, but at the same time, I don't want to walk by feeling, but by faith. I don't want to judge what the Lord's work might be. Another reason is that I feel bad about not giving money to a congregation, but at the same time, I don't want to add to this kind of teaching. I've written a letter to the pastor and the board of directors on certain things, but the board wrote back that they didn't have time to meet with me. Where do you draw the line? How would you look at this issue if you were in this position? I also want to add that I'm not going to be led by what you would do. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit's leading with me, but I'm interested in how you look at this issue. That's from Lotta, who wrote to us from Sweden.
Well, I sure appreciate Lotta writing to us, yes. And I'm just so thankful for this internet and the ability to reach all around the world and bring this message of hope and help to people wherever they are. And Lotta is just one example of that. But she does ask a very important question about church attendance and a mixed message. Yes. Many of the congregations around the world, the pastors are standing up and they're mixing law and grace. They're saying that we need to live according to rules and regulations, and that's, we're supposed to be this and do more and be more and pray more and read the Bible more and all of those sort of things. And as we do, we're going to gain more and more of God's love. It's kind of a legalistic works-based mentality. Well, you can't mix law and grace. Jesus made that clear in a couple of analogies. You can't pour new wine into old wineskins. You can't put a new patch onto old clothing. You'll ruin both. You have to recognize the purpose of the law and leave it there so that you can grab hold of the full purpose of the grace of God and enjoy this new life that you have in Christ. So when you taste that freedom, when you see the difference between law and grace, and then you go and you want to fellowship with other believers and you go to a church and you hear the mixed message again, what do you do? Well, there's no rule of thumb. It's helpful to stay there because the mixed teaching draws a contrast. And in that contrast, somebody can learn and they can actually see the full nature of what the grace of God is all about. For others, it becomes very confusing, and it's necessary to get out of that and move to a place where you can just hear the purity of the message. Now, that's the ideal, for everybody to be involved in a place where you're hearing the purity of the message, just the simple, powerful, life-changing message of the grace of God revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the ideal, but not everybody's going to find that ideal. So you're going to have to trust the Spirit of God. So the question is, what's the Spirit of God leading you to do in that situation? If he's leading you to hang in there, because he's going to be teaching you something. If he's leading you to move away. Have the courage to allow the Spirit of God to lead you in these particular situations. Like I said, I've heard testimonies from people who have stayed in churches that were teaching a mixed message, and that enabled them to really see the contrast. And in seeing that contrast, they were able to really grab hold of the truth. Paul, as he writes through all of his letters, he uses contrasts as a teaching method, doesn't he? So he's showing the difference between darkness and light. He's showing the difference between legalism and grace. He's showing the difference between the old covenant and the new. He's showing the difference between the old way of life and the new way of life. He's constantly drawing contrast, and in those contrasts, he's going to show you the purity of the good news. It's like putting a diamond on a black velvet against that black background. the diamond really shines.
Jumps out.
Yeah, it really jumps out. So we can learn a lot through contrast. But as far as she's concerned, let the Spirit of God lead you in that decision. If it's becoming confusing to you, God is not the author of confusion. If that's the case, I think it would be time to move away.
Yeah. And one of the things you'll find when you start relying on the Spirit in a situation like this is that He may have you there to serve someone. It's not about me getting what I need or me being confused. It's about the Spirit working through me to reach one or more people. And when the Spirit's done with you, He moves you on or not. Again, it's the Spirit's call. We get to respond and walk by faith. And that takes a lot of the stress out of it if we'll just do it that way.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call. And Lotta, I hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to John in the Bronx listening to us on WMCA. Hi, John.
Yes, I heard that you were speaking about the identity of the Holy Spirit.
Well, the identity of the believer, yes.
Right. Well, the identity of the believer. I'm sorry. The identity of the believer, I believe, it's not what I believe. It's what the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are the sons of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to another brother that he's a brother, that he's a son of God, that he is a child of God. Because the Bible says, how are you going to know? You're going to know them, the Bible says, by their fruits. You're going to know them by, in other words, the Bible says that the fruits of the Spirit, in other words, it's not because he speaks in tongues or not because he got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's what God will show you.
Yeah, you're exactly
Spirit.
Right, John.
So that's the identity that God shows us, that you know that they are a child of God when the fruits of the Spirit. You know, it's not the way, it's not how good you dress, it's not how, you understand, it's the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
You're right, and
there's
we
a lot
become
of people in churches. There's a lot of people that are in the church and they dress good and all that, but you know they don't have the fruits of the Spirit. And
clean on
the
outside, dirty on the inside. Yeah, John,
like
you're
love, you know.
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head, John. And you know, we come into this world as sinners. That's what we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast. We're born again into the family of God. Mm-hmm. When we're born again into the family of God, we're given a brand new identity, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And as John was saying, He bears witness with our human spirit that we are indeed children of God. And because we've been born of God, we have the ability to know God. And when we start to know about God, we find out that He's love. And when we find out that He's love, and that's what motivates Him, that's how He reaches out to us, then we start to see the fruit of that love in our lives pouring out in the lives of others.
Yes.
And that's what confirms to us that we are indeed children of God, that we have been born again of the Spirit. I love how John writes about that in his first letter. He said, you know, if God loves us, we ought to love others. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
But how's that going to happen? And he talks about new birth and knowing God. And when we know God, we're going to see the fruits of that relationship spelled out through this new identity of ours. So
yeah.
It's good news. So
absolutely. 1-800-677-9377. Still some time on the clock and plenty of open lines. This is your turn, so give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, a question about some confusion. This is from Terry, who writes to us from Arizona. Terry says, I was listening to your program August 14th, and it was stated that we're not saved on the basis of some perfect doctrine of understanding. Bob told someone that he knew that had been saved and did not know that Jesus was God until after he had been saved. Terry says, my understanding about salvation has been that you have to believe Jesus is God, the death, burial, and resurrection, that you are a sinner, that Jesus paid the debt for our sins and is giving us full forgiveness, past, present, and future, and that we are spiritually dead and now have new life in Jesus. Although we may not truly understand these things in their fullness, we need to believe them in faith. If you look at the Mormons, for example, they will tell you Jesus is the Son of God, but they deny that He is God. Would you please help me understand if someone can be saved and not believe Jesus is God until sometime afterwards? I'm sorry, but I'm confused. hearing that statement?
Well, Jesus saves us. And, you know, as a little kid, when I was saved, I didn't know a lot about Jesus.
Right.
I just knew that he died on the cross. I didn't know anything about his identity. I mean, I'd heard that he was God, but I didn't really know much about that. I wasn't able to put two and two together at that particular time. I just knew that I needed Jesus. And so my heart responded in faith.
Yeah.
I believe Jesus. Now, that's all we need to believe is Jesus. Jesus saves. And once we're saved, we're going to learn all the rest. Now, doctrine doesn't save anyone.
Right.
And we come to the point, we get humbled by life, we get to the end of our ropes, and we cry out, help. And Jesus is there. And that's the salvation. Anyone who looks at Jesus, calls upon the name of the Lord. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do at that time is going to enable us to say with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. But we don't know all the detail of that. We don't know all the ins and outs of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We just know something about Jesus. And that's as simple as it gets. We're to come to him as a little child. Little child doesn't know all the detail. Little child just knows Jesus.
Yeah.
So he comes bounding up to Jesus, sits on his lap, and prepares himself to receive everything that Jesus has to offer. And that's how we're to come to Jesus in the same way, just with the hearts prepared to receive everything that he has for us. And we're going to spend our lives here on planet Earth and eternity figuring out all that he has given us. I mean, this grace, we're going to know a little bit of grace when we first receive him, and that understanding of grace is going to grow and expand each and every day as we walk by faith in him. That's just the way it is. So now, after 30, almost 40 years in the Lord, I can articulate the gospel pretty well. And I can communicate the gospel pretty well. And Richard, you can do so. And Bob Davis, you can. And as a matter of fact, you just had the opportunity to lead a person to Christ a couple of weeks ago that you had been in discussions with. And what you gave to that man, he probably couldn't articulate the way you articulated it to him. All he knew is that he needed Jesus.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So he responded.
Right.
And now he's learning. Now he's growing.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. A little time remaining on the clock. A quick question here that I think we can take care of. This is from Phil. He says, I was told that if you don't confess all your sins and take communion, you don't clean up your life, and you are not God's child, you get sick, all these things will happen to you. Is this true?
Well, I don't know anybody that's confessed all their sins. I mean, we can't remember them all.
And just so many.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, folks will come in and say, well, that's when grace comes in. You know, it just covers those that you can't remember. We just have to rest on the fact that Jesus saves us, that he loves us so much that he reaches down and saves us by grace. He introduces himself to us in such a way that we can respond to him by faith. That's what salvation is all about. It's all on his shoulders. It's his work.
Truly.
It's all of Jesus. We just get the benefits.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Phil, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. Friends, if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today to receive the links to the daily radio broadcasts, blog posts, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Also, the more often you listen to this broadcast, the more frequently you're going to hear others calling with real life issues that can only find their answer in the solution and a solution out of the Word of God and the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here day after day providing the truth that sets us free. That's why we ask your help by making your most generous tax-deductible donation to help us keep the good news on the air. Join us today if you can, friends, at basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. And thanks for your part in helping to keep the good news coming. Well, thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.